Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
What the hell are the Steelers going to do? 9 straight years without a playoff win, 7 straight losses in the postseason for Mike Tomlin, and they've somehow gotten progressively uglier and uglier year after year. We'll dive into that in just a moment here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, inside the Westwood One Sports app. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos. He'll be back tomorrow, still streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/@TheKostos, TheKostos. Thanks for joining us today. We've got a ton of great insight from Brooks Austin on college football, Indiana, Miami, Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports on the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. But right off the top of the show, talk to my good friend, Steelers insider Mark Cabali, correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show. We co-host a Pittsburgh sports Steelers podcast together, Cabali and Mac. We got very creative with the name there. But we were up late last night after this loss by the Pittsburgh Steelers, trying to figure out just how much change can, should, and most importantly, will happen with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you could say it all starts with Aaron Rodgers and what he decides to do, because maybe that impacts what Mike Tomlin wants to do and whether he wants to play another year of quarterback roulette or not. Look at the names that have rolled through, by the way, and started games for the Pittsburgh Steelers at quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger retired. I mean, Pickett, Trubisky, Rudolph, and I like Mason, but backup. Pickett, Trubisky, Rudolph, Fields, Wilson, now Rodgers. And without that answer at quarterback, I thought there was a great point made by Frank Schwab an hour ago. They had Jackson Dart in the palm of their hand last year's first round and decided to pass on him. They got a great defensive lineman in Derek Harmon, but that doesn't solve the quarterback issue. And now you're coming up on a quarterback poor draft and certainly a quarterback poor free agency class. You're going to give up all those resources you've built up in the draft. The Steelers have something like 10 picks in this year's draft, which will be in their backyard at their stadium in Pittsburgh. You're going to give up some of those for a Kyler or a Tua? Eesh. That's not the solution, is it? And so I understand those that say, well, it all starts and ends with quarterback. Until you figure out quarterback, I mean, you can't do anything. And they haven't given Mike Tomlin a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger retired. Well, I would ask you to press pause there. Mike Tomlin has a lot to do with the construction of the roster in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin is the most powerful person in the Steelers organization whose last name is not Rooney. The Rooney family owns the Steelers. Art Rooney II is in charge in Steelers headquarters. And he's the one who it all starts with this offseason. Art Rooney II falls in line with the rest of the Rooney family's preference for stability and consistency. It's why they have not fired a head coach in 56, 57 years. It's why they've had 3 head coaches in half a century. The Pittsburgh Steelers do not wade in the waters of jumping through head coaches every couple of years. They just don't. They want to find their guy and stick with him through thick and thin. Now, look, it's very easy to stick with a guy beyond the first few years if he wins in the first few years, like Bill Cowher did when he became their head coach in the 90s, like Mike Tomlin did when he became their head coach in the mid-2000s. It becomes much harder to stick with a guy beyond the first few years if those first few years are 6-11, 7-10. No one's saying that's instantly going to happen if you walk away from Mike Tomlin. But you're not going to know if you keep banging your head against the wall, hoping that somehow you put a dent in the cinder block with your skull. You're not. You're just going to end up bloody. and dazed and confused and wondering why the hell you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Mike Tomlin can be a great head coach, and he can still have run his course in Pittsburgh. And the thing to watch for is what happens. And we won't be there unless you're a fly on the wall in Art Rooney II's office when he meets with Mike Tomlin, whether it's today, later this week, next week, whenever it may be, sooner rather than later, I would hope. We won't know, but if Art Rooney II says to Mike Tomlin, listen, we both know you've got an option on your contract for 2027 that we have to choose whether we're going to pick up or not before March. I'm going to tell you right now, Mike, we can't pick up that option right now. You haven't won a playoff game in nearly a decade. You've lost 7 postseason games in a row. We like you. You're always going to be a pretty thick chapter in this franchise's story. You've got a ring. You're probably going to the Hall of Fame someday. We just don't think your story continues here unless you want to go into 2026 as a lame duck with that final year on your contract and prove the world wrong. At which point, I imagine Mike Tomlin would say, I can't see myself doing that, Mr. Rooney. I think unless I get some additional job security, more years tacked on to the end of my deal, at least another year, I can't go into 2026 trying to build this thing out, trying to find the answers that I haven't been able to find over the last decade. And there is a reason. I want people to understand this. There is a reason there has been so much smoke around Mike Tomlin's future in Pittsburgh. It's not because the Rooney family is talking to anybody. You have to believe it's because Mike Tomlin's surrogates in the media, or surrogate, i.e. Jay Glazer of Fox, has made it very clear, and other insiders have gleaned this information as well, that Mike Tomlin could make a good chunk of change just sitting at a desk once a week for 18 weeks in the fall, dropping some of those awesome sayings that he drops in during his weekly press conferences. Well, if you got red paint, you paint the barn red. I'm not going to unpack my bags on the bed of the collective. The standard is the standard. That would be an excuse, and we don't make them. I could do another 20 minutes on Mike Tomlinisms. I won't. The smoke that's out there around Mike Tomlin and the Steelers possibly coming to a mutual parting of ways, a conscious uncoupling. Thank you, Gwyneth Paltrow. That is out there so that the path for an easy exit exists where Mike Tomlin does not lose any face, where he still gets to go out and, if he wants to, entertains the idea of a job elsewhere, where Mike Tomlin can take a year off and then maybe re-enter the coaching ranks, where Mike Tomlin could take a year off, then go do TV, and then maybe come back into the coaching ranks when just the right opportunity shows up, where he doesn't have to play quarterback roulette year after year after year until he finds a Hall of Famer. So that smoke is very real. And this is just as much Mike Tomlin's decision as it is the Pittsburgh Steelers' decision. The Pittsburgh Steelers are never going to, quote-unquote, fire Mike Tomlin. A lot of Steelers fans would love to see that headline today or at some point in the next couple days or weeks. Steelers terminate Mike Tomlin. It would be a catharsis for a lot of Steelers fans who feel like their birthright is, at the very least, a conference championship appearance. Come on, we got 6 Lombardis in the trophy case down there at 3400 South Water Street. Get us back there, somebody, please. And if you can't do it, then get the hell out. It would feel great for a lot of Steeler fans to see Mike Tomlin doing the walk of shame. It's not going to happen. If Mike Tomlin and the Steelers are not together in 2026, It's because Mike Tomlin has decided that's the best course of action. And there's a couple of things that can feed into that. In addition to Art Rooney II actually having the guts to go against the wave of consistency that has long reigned supreme in Pittsburgh. Could simply be, like I said, Aaron Rodgers says, hey, Coach T, it was a blast, man. I loved Pittsburgh in the year that I was there. Had a ton of fun, but I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And Mike Tomlin says, okay, yeah, I'm not going to take another ride on the quarterback merry-go-round. I'm not going to take a swing with Malik Willis or Anthony Richardson or Tua Tagovailoa or Kyler Murray or whoever the hell else might be available. And I know we're not getting anybody in the draft. And I don't want to break in Will Howard. I don't want to go down any of these roads. I think it's time to walk away. But it all comes back to Mike Tomlin being the guy who has to make that decision. And if I were Mike Tomlin, I'm not, clearly, but if I were Mike Tomlin, a guy who's always supremely confident that he's going to have his team ready to do what's necessary, I would have to take a step back and say, okay, we haven't gotten it done in the playoffs. As good as I think we've been, haven't been able to get it done when the games matter the most. And they're chanting, fire Tomlin, anytime we get beat at home. Maybe I need to just walk away. Maybe I need to just cleanse my palate of what was a wonderful two decades for me and my family in Pittsburgh, but just walk away. And all that smoke that's been circulating around Tomlin, really since a very ugly loss to the Buffalo Bills at home late in the season, it's there for a reason. It's because Tomlin or people close to him want that smoke to be there so that it does make sense if he decides to walk away. So that it doesn't look like he's quitting. This is not a guy who quits. This is a guy who loves ball. To watch Mike Tomlin at the field of Pittsburgh Steelers practice is to watch a guy who loves ball and loves being out there around the game. And after a couple weeks away from this thing, he may take a good long hard look in the mirror and say, I still think I can do this. But that's where it comes back around to ownership and the people in charge of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the people who are named Rooney, to say, it's great. We're glad you feel good about what you can still do. You just don't have any more time left in Pittsburgh to do it. Now, the alternative pathway here is that Aaron Rodgers does decide to come back in 2026. I don't think it's likely. But again, he had a wonderful time in Pittsburgh his 1 year there. And he may look at it and say, man, we get a couple pieces in here. Offensive line is improved. I know it didn't look like it last night against Houston, but that's an all-world defensive front that I think is going to give Drake May fits on Sunday. Offensive line is improved. We just need to find some more weapons for me to utilize. Kenneth Gainwell came out of nowhere and was team MVP. We can do this. We can make a run, Coach T. Me and you, one more year off into the sunset. Come on, let's do it. And they do. Decide to go one more year with Rodgers and Tomlin. That is an alternative, if albeit unlikely, pathway forward for the Steelers. Well, what are you doing for your future then? You're putting it off another year. You're going back to the well again, banging your head off the wall one more time, expecting different results. And at a certain point, someone in Pittsburgh in charge has to stand up and say, listen, no more, no mas. We can't. Not only are we not going anywhere, significant anyway, not only are we not going anywhere with this tactic, but we're prolonging the agony of what's going to happen after the fact. Nobody in Pittsburgh is going to be excited if the Steelers bring in a new head coach, decide to go with a young quarterback or a retread veteran who's looking to prove himself with a new team, Murray, Tagovailoa, and go 6-11 for a couple of years. Nobody's going to get excited about that. But it may be just what they need. Not a hardcore tear it down to the studs rebuild, although that's about as close as you could get, new head coach, new quarterback. But as hard a reset as you can get. And the sooner everybody in charge in Pittsburgh, not named Mike Tomlin, comes to that realization, the better it is for the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, a team that is convinced they should be in contention every single year and who somehow keep getting away with 10 wins every single year. But man, it feels like that's the ceiling. That's the ceiling under the Tomlin regime. 10 wins and a first round exit. Full disclosure, Chris Mack here filling in for Nick Kostos on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. I've grown up in Pittsburgh my entire life, other than a few years away at Penn State for college. Yeah, I went all of 2 hours down the road. I've grown up in Pittsburgh. I've watched the Steelers since I was old enough to watch football, since Bubby Brister was their quarterback. Oof. I've seen it all. I've seen good. I've seen bad. I've seen ugly. The one thing I've never seen is the Pittsburgh Steelers acknowledge what may be right in front of them, which is, hey, we might have to suffer for a year or two in order to turn this thing around. Because they always are convinced they are right there in it. This is the year. We made the changes. You see what we did? We got Ramsey. We got DK. We got Rodgers. This is the year. Here we come. Look out. That way of thinking of, hey, if we can just squeeze out that one or two extra wins in the playoffs. At this point, it's just one win in the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff game in 9 years. You know that. I don't need to repeat it again. But until they acknowledge that that's what they're working for, simply a playoff win? Playoffs? I don't think they're really going to see the hard truth that's staring back at them in the mirror, which is that standard that your fans have come to expect is the standard, as they call it, in Pittsburgh, inside Steelers headquarters, is not actually contending for rings, for Lombardis, for titles anymore. Just getting to the playoffs. I have a 12-year-old son who last night looked at me right before he laid his head down on the pillow after staying up to watch the miserable ending to that game and said, "Dad, told you, 10-7 and a wild card loss." And he did. He told me that back in August. The kid actually predicted a division title, 10-7, and a wild card exit. Props to him. I should have taken some money from his piggy bank and bet it. Could have paid for college. Okay, maybe not for college, but at least a book or two. And that's what's most disheartening. For fans in places like Pittsburgh or Green Bay, where they're having very similar conversations, despite the fact that he hasn't been around nearly as long as Mike Tomlin, very similar conversations about Matt LaFleur. Is your standard going to the Super Bowl and maybe actually winning one? Or is your standard, hey, let's just get to the playoffs, okay? And then who knows what can happen? That's not a plan for winning a championship. That's a plan for getting to the playoffs. And maybe, just maybe, winning a game. That's why I said off the top of the show, you can't simply hand Matt LaFleur a multi-year extension. Maybe an additional year. Make him sing for his supper, as it were, and prove that he deserves a longer deal by going out in 2026. Maybe actually winning a division. Maybe not getting shown up by Ben Johnson. Maybe not melting down 2 times in 3 weeks with a lead at Soldier Field. We ask ourselves all the time, well, if you're going to get rid of this guy or you're going to put him on the hot seat, who are you going to get? I understand that line of thinking. I do. I get where you're coming from. But it also is a classic example of doing something, to bring this back around to Tomlin and one of his classic lines of living in your fears. Mike Tomlin has said for 19 years in Pittsburgh, we do not live in our fears. The organization lives the exact opposite, and they're living the opposite in Green Bay or anywhere else where they don't do what the Ravens did last week in firing John Harbaugh. They're living in the fear of, what happens is maybe you bring in a schlub who goes 6-11 for a few years, and then you try again. But at the very least, no stone is left unturned. You stop banging your head against the wall, bloodying yourself in the process, and you actually go out and chase what you say your goal is every single year, whether it's in Green Bay, whether it's in New England. They say goodbye to Belichick, for God's sake. Whether it's in Pittsburgh, you go out and go after what you say your real ultimate goal is. And that's where it comes back in Pittsburgh in particular to Art Rooney II, their owner. Does he have the guts to make the tough decision and wear it for a couple of years if it doesn't go as expected? Who knows? Maybe Mike Tomlin goes off somewhere else, wins a ring somewhere else. The Eagles survived it when Andy Reid left. The Eagles survived it, and they continued to compete and contend and eventually win a Super Bowl. You've either got to have the guts to go chase it or continue to live in your fears. And that's the hard decision that the Pittsburgh Steelers have to come to in regards to Mike Tomlin over the next few days and weeks. Coming up next, I've talked about quarterbacks and how we don't have a lot of elite ones left in these playoffs. There's another position in particular that we don't have a lot of great ones left in these playoffs, and I want to see how it plays out, especially in the divisional round. We'll get into it next. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Head-to-head for MVP. Going in zone, Puka Nacua, and just like that, Los Angeles is on the board.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Joe Davis on the call on Fox in the wild card round. Puka Nacua with a touchdown catch against the Carolina Panthers. And speaking of those Panthers, we do have some breaking news we'll get to in just a second here on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos, always inside your Westwood One Sports app. And of course, you can watch the show streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/@TheKostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S, The Costos. Nick will return tomorrow. Happy to fill in for him today, the morning after I stayed up late to watch my Steelers make a mess down their leg again in the playoffs. Just got done talking about the future of Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers, which we may revisit again before the end of the show, as well as our three stars of the day and some first impressions of the divisional round with thoughts from Frank Schwab included in there as well. But I mentioned last week when I filled in for Nick here on You Better You Bet that this could in fact be the year that your drunk slurry uncle is right about defense wins championships, kid. Told you. Because we don't have a raft of elite quarterbacks in these playoffs. We don't. There's no Mahomes. There's no Burrow. There's no Lamar. There's not even a Jared Goff to be found. Last year's Super Bowl winning quarterback is now out as well. Jalen Hurts. No Jordan Love now. Thank you, LaFleur. There aren't. It's Allen and Stafford. And I'm not trying to devalue Brock Purdy or what Sam Darnold has done this year. More often than not, I don't want to devalue what Caleb Williams could be turning into, at least in the final 2 minutes of a game, right? If Caleb Williams only had to play the final 2 to 4 minutes of every game, he's already in the Hall of Fame. There are still good quarterbacks out there. Drake May was in the MVP conversation all year. And you could argue it was the schedule, but you could also argue May looked really, really good at times. Bo Nix is Bo Nix. I'm still not sold. But the point is, there are good quarterbacks. Yes, absolutely. There are not a lot of great quarterbacks. The only two you look at and say, that's a shiny toy. I like that. That's the quarterback that can win me a Super Bowl are Allen and Stafford. That's why, even though I do tend to believe with my drunk uncle that defense could win a championship this postseason, my Super Bowl pick when we started the postseason was Rams-Bills. I still think that's highly likely because of the quarterbacks. And that could blow this whole theory up. But you see a team like the Texans do what they did. You see a team like the Seahawks, the Broncos, what the Patriots did to Justin Herbert in the wild card round. Those are defenses, baby. Those are defenses that come to play, punch you in the mouth, and win a playoff game based on that theory of defense win championships. Texans don't win last night based on the way C.J. Stroud played without that defense. Okay, maybe they still would have because the Steelers couldn't find the end zone. But they would have had a much harder time. The other position that I think we have to take notice of now that is, I don't want to say bereft of talent, but you don't have a lot of those elite top flight guys, all pro guys left in the playoffs, is wide receiver. I mean, it's JSN and Puka. Those are the all pros at wide receiver left in the playoffs. That's it. And Josh Allen is a one of one talent. So he's making do with Khalil Shakir and Brandon Cooks. Drake May is making do with the shell of Stephon Diggs and Kayshon Booty. And the Texans now probably without Nico Collins going into Foxborough. Incredible game from Christian Kirk last night. Every time I looked up, he was running free and open. But it's Kirk and Higgins and Noel, the pair of rookies from Iowa State. Yeah, Cortland Sutton in Denver, I guess at times, belongs near the fringes of that elite wide receiver conversation. And certainly, I think you've got guys in Chicago who, in Luther Burden in particular, may be a part of that conversation someday. Roma Dunze. Maybe. Someday. But other than Puka, healthy Devontae when he's healthy, and JSN, you don't have those name brand receivers left in the playoffs. And it's wild to me how we're probably, 3 years removed from the belief that you got to have an elite quarterback wide receiver combo if you're going to go anywhere, right? It was Burrow and Chase. That's the template. Okay, I'm not arguing against having a quality receiving core. Aaron Rodgers would have loved to have had one last night in Pittsburgh, although I still don't know if he would have had time to get the ball out to those guys. And if DK Metcalf would have caught it, which he did not do last night. So you still need a quality receiving core. But what we're seeing, I think, in the NFL right now is a shift away from wide receiver one being of utmost importance. Again, it's still incredibly valuable. I'm not trying to say that wide receivers don't matter. There's nuance in this conversation. But a shift toward tight ends. That's the position that I think, with more teams running 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, than ever before. I mean, the Rams have a slew of tight ends. And yes, they've also got Nacua and Adams, as I mentioned. But if you don't have a tight end that your quarterback, and Bill, you made this point when we talked this morning before the show, so I think it's valuable to bring you back in here to this part of the conversation. If you don't have a tight end that you can trust your quarterback to get the ball to in crucial situations, third downs, for example, look what Caleb is doing with Colston Loveland. Look what Jordan Love did earlier in the year before Tucker Kraft got hurt. If you don't have that tight end, Hunter Henry, if you don't have that tight end that can save your butt as a quarterback on third down, I don't know how far you're going to go. And the importance of those tight ends continues to climb up the ladder.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I always go back. I remember this quote from Troy Aikman. This was like 20 years ago. And he said, you know, Emmitt Smith did his thing. Michael Irvin did his thing. My job was I got paid to convert third downs. So what do you need on third down? He needed Jay Novacek, right? And it goes all through. Jason Witten was one of these guys. All these guys where it's third and six, and you know you've got a big target that just gets 8 yards, gets a step, and you just deliver the football and keep the chains moving. It's so important. And yes, sometimes a wide receiver like Puka is absolutely that guy for the Rams, right? Those quick routes, and Stafford gets in the ball and they keep the chains moving. It doesn't have to be a tight end, but a lot of the times, and that's where I really wonder about this 49ers offense without George Kittle, without Ricky Pearsall, without these guys. Like, what is Brock Purdy going to do when he has that critical conversion that he's got to make? So I think it's critical. And, you know, we hear Kenny bringing up, and you brought up Colston Loveland. I think that's a perfect example. And not someone that offense had when Loveland was still developing. Komet wasn't good enough to be that guy. But what we've seen with Colston Loveland the last 3-4 weeks, he's becoming that guy. And that's where this Bears offense might be more dangerous this month.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about Loveland in Chicago. Knox, obviously, in Buffalo is crucial to what Josh Allen does. I mentioned Hunter Henry in New England always being there and available, had the lone touchdown in that game against the Chargers in the wild card round. I think one to keep an eye on in the divisional round, Dalton Schultz, who didn't have much of an impact at all last night for the Texans, but led Houston in receptions this year. Everybody's talking about the impact of Nico Collins possibly not being available in Foxborough on Sunday. If you just ask CJ, hey, I don't need you to hit Christian Kirk or Jalen Noel half a dozen times or Jaden Higgins. Just look for your tight end. Find your tight end. Get the ball to Dalton Schultz. It's like you said, 5-6 yards downfield. Let him fall forward for another 2 or 3 yards, and we're going to be in third and manageable all day long.
Yeah, 100%, because the one thing you can't have is negative plays. Like, we see that all the time. You're marching 30, 40 yards, then you know, you're second and 12, third and 9, and the entire concept of the drive pivots immediately. You can't have those negative plays. So when you have, when the play downfield or whatever the main option, when that doesn't work out, having those safety valves that can still get you some sort of positive play. Maybe it's not a successful play. You know, maybe you didn't get the amount of yards, so the analytics aren't happy, but you're still getting 3, 4, 5, 6 yards forward instead of 0 yards on an incompletion.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that pivot, and I think a lot of people around the league have been somewhat late to the party in that regard, where they, you know, the Bengals are a great example, and nothing against the Bengals tight ends. Like, they've got capable guys, but when you pivot away from tight ends in any regard, Gesicki's decent. You know, they brought in Noah Fant, but you put all your eggs in the wide receiver basket, as they did with Chase and Higgins. Those guys have to produce, and your quarterback has to be able to count on them in those situations. And look, the issues in Cincinnati are plentiful, and some of them don't even exist on that side of the ball, certainly. But you get what I'm saying. It's some places in the league, I'll use the Rams as an example again. Parkinson, Higbee, they've got guys who, okay, you want to take away Puka on this route? You want to take Puka and Devontae? That's fine. I'll go two receivers, two tight ends. I'll get it to one of those tight ends. I mean, you see incredible catches like the one Parkinson made late against Carolina this past weekend. If you don't have those tight ends, you're playing from behind. And in some cases, like in Buffalo, those tight ends are option number one for a quarterback that knows how to use them. And I'm curious to see how the league continues to adjust to that going forward, because if they don't, then they're going to get left behind, like, well, teams like the Bengals. So, yeah, it's interesting to watch another position that's sort of undergoing transition. the way the wide receiver and tight end position are.
And to that point, I mean, let's look at two of the best offensive mind coaches in the league, Sean McVay and Ben Johnson. Not only are they going 12 personnel a lot, they're going 13 personnel a decent amount. They're putting three tight ends out there and passing out of those formations. So when guys like McVay, Shanahan, Ben Johnson, when those guys are doing those things, I think the league should listen.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how it continues to evolve through the divisional round. Coming up, we'll get some first impressions on the divisional round now that the full slate is set for Saturday and Sunday. We'll get you our three stars of the day as well before we wrap up. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM here on Westwood One Sports.
This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today on You Better You Bet. Wrapping up the show in just a few minutes, but we'll get you our three stars of the day. We actually had three guests today, so it worked out perfectly. I thought they each brought a ton of insight. Brooks Austin on college football, Frank Schwab on the NFL at large, and Mark Cabali on the Steelers specifically. We'll let you hear from each of them some of their takeaways before we wrap up the show here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, always inside your Westwood One Sports app and SiriusXM channel 375. I wanted to dive into divisional round first impressions, though. I completely whiffed on what we in the game call a tease. I mentioned breaking news out of Carolina, and then we didn't get into it because we got into our big philosophical discussion about wide receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks in the league, especially in these playoffs. And it has to be mentioned that Panthers GM Dan Morgan this morning is saying that Carolina does plan to pick up the fifth-year option on Bryce Young. You know, there's two ways you can go about looking at that. One is, yes, Bryce Young over the last year plus has shown some glimpses. But more than likely, he's not a dude, I don't think, who's ever going to enter that upper echelon of quarterbacks. I think we can see that now at this point. I was a huge believer, I'll own it, a huge believer in Bryce Young coming out, and he just hasn't shown it. He hasn't. And this is more proof that if there were a better quarterback market out there, maybe the Panthers would look around a little bit, but quarterback market is not good. Between free agency and the draft, it's downright underwhelming. It is. It's just a bunch of dudes. Tua, Kyler, Malik Willis, and then beyond Mendoza in the draft, what are we talking about? Dante Moore, a lot of people are still high on, but you're probably going to have to be drafting in the top 10 to get Moore. So if you're a team that's not drafting top 10 and feels like you may be a quarterback away, it's a huge piece to be missing, but if you're just a quarterback away, you're not finding them this offseason. Short of something massive happening, you're not finding that quarterback this offseason. And I do still think in the back of my head, there's a wonder about how much noise Joe Burrow was making towards the end of the year about being unhappy. But, I mean, even the Bengals wouldn't do that, right? They wouldn't screw that up, would they? I don't know. It's the Bengals. We probably shouldn't hold our breath for them to make prudent decisions at this point. If you're betting on the divisional round, though, best way to do it is in the BetMGM app. BetMGM players are going to get an any sport parlay boost token to start the new year off, right? To use that parlay boost token and score a bigger payout, all you got to do, put together a parlay inside your BetMGM app, any sports, and then activate the token. You win that wager that has the token activated, the parlay boost, you're going to get extra winnings all inside your BetMGM app. Download the BetMGM app today. Please play responsibly. As for first impressions on the divisional round, I think the most interesting game is the first one. Saturday afternoon in Denver. Another short week for the Bills. And the line on this one, look, it's all right around a pick to a point, point and a half. But it really is all over both sides. At some places, you're going to get Buffalo laying the 1.5. At other places, you're going to get Buffalo getting the 1.5. Even at BetMGM, it's oscillating back and forth right now between 1 point on either side to either Buffalo or Denver, which again, essentially makes it a pick 'em. And then you go look at the money line odds and everything is right in that minus 110 to minus 115 neighborhood on either side. It's about as close a game as you have this weekend. I tend to believe that if Josh Allen isn't seriously hampered by the litany of injuries that he's suffering at this point, Buffalo wins that game. They go into Denver and take care of business. San Francisco, I mentioned laying the 7.5 is interesting, even without Kittle. If you could get me a hook on the Texans, I'd be interested, but right now it's at 3. And the Rams laying 3.5 at Chicago, I'm not touching with your money because, well, the Bears, anything's possible at this point. All that said, let's get to your three stars of the day. And like I said, we had three fantastic guests on today, each of them with some insights on the biggest stories of the day, starting with college football and Brooks Austin on what exactly Miami's offense can do against Indiana.
Three. They can make this a 30-tote Mark Fletcher football game. They can do that. If you haven't seen this Miami running back, you're going to find out. He's 6'2 and a half, 230 pounds, and he runs downhill.
Yeah, a bowling ball with razor blades. Brooks Austin was amazing. Go find it inside the podcast. Download You Better You Bet for his full takeaways on Miami, Indiana. Number two.
Two. I think the Texans defense is the best unit left in the playoffs. It was the best unit in the playoffs when we started the playoffs. It's absolutely awesome. I mean, for everybody who's saying, oh, Josh Allen, this is his year. He's going to make a Super Bowl. I watched that game. I think it was week 12. It was a Thursday night. Destroyed Josh Allen in that game.
Yeah, Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports on the Texans defense. Can they go into Foxborough and do to Drake May what they did to Aaron Rodgers? May's a lot more mobile, but that New England offense isn't exactly high octane. Under 40.5. I'm all over it in that game. And our top star of the day.
One. You know, 12 hours ago, I think you asked pretty much anybody associated of being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, they would all have said, yes, we want Rodgers back. It's how important he's been to this organization this year. Not only the way he's played, he showed that he still has some left in the tank.
Yeah, I don't know how much gas is left in that tank after this year, though. In particular, that beating he took last night. Steelers insider Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show and the Cabali and Mac Show as well on Aaron Rodgers. And the idea that maybe, just maybe, the Steelers bang their head off the cinder block wall one more time and run it back with Tomlin and Rodgers in what could be the final year of Mike Tomlin's contract, I think more than likely. Aaron Rodgers is probably done. I'm Chris Mack. Thanks to each and every one of yins, as we say, for joining us here today on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Nick back tomorrow. Thanks to Dan Turner, Mike Brown, Kenny Henderson, Tyler Morales, Bill Zimmerman, Bleck and Abdallah up next right here on Westwood One Sports.